We're getting to know Victoria Lassassier, Mariana Bonifay, Dorothy Walton, and Genevieve Hamm. Their stories were featured during the 2018 Pensacola Repast event held downtown on May 6th. University of West Florida archaeologist Margot Stringfield chose the women based on her extensive research at Pensacola's historic St. Michael's Cemetery, where they are all buried.
The four ladies that we picked to highlight represent the diversity that we see in Pensacola in a period of time that's the dividing line between Spanish colonial and American territorial.
Stringfield focused on the period between 1821 and 1830, when the city was becoming a true melting pot.
You primarily had people from French and Spanish ethnicity. You also had people coming out of African and Afro-Caribbean. And then as we move toward 1821, we see people flowing into Florida to take advantage of what they're seeing as the future of Florida, which is as an American territory.
It was at this time that the Anglo population of Spanish West Florida, which extended to Louisiana, began to grow with the influx of people from British, Scottish, and Irish heritage moving in from the north. Stringfield says one such individual was Dorothy Walton, born in Chatham County, Georgia in 1754.
She holds a special place, I think, for Pensacola. She was married to George Walton, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And she would have been privy to what was happening at the formation of our country. She would have been an intimate observer of the formation of our country. She would have been entertaining men that were associates of her husband. She would have been hearing what they were saying. She probably offered an opinion or two.
According to Stringfield, Walton was also an intimate witness to the formation of the state of Florida.
Because she came to Pensacola in 1821 and was living with her son George Walton and his family, and he had come into Pensacola as one of the first administrators for the territory, held high government positions, and was a crony of Andrew Jackson. So she, too, was moving in circles whereby she would have known what was going on a very intimate basis with formation of the territory of Florida that would become the state of Florida.
Dorothy Walton died in 1832. Her grave, located in the old part of St. Michael's, is covered with a flat slab of marble, enclosed by a brick wall, and marked with a bronze memorial plaque. Victoria Lassassier died a year later in 1833. She had lived in Pensacola since the early 1780s after Spanish General Bernardo de Galvez declared victory in the Battle of Pensacola.
She was a French woman. Her family was rooted in New Orleans, and she was a woman of means herself. And she married Jose Noriega, and we'll refer to him as Senior because her son was also Jose Noriega. But her husband came to Pensacola with Galvez, and he was part of Galvez's force. And he stayed on as a representative of the Spanish government for several years.
Stringfield says Lassassier represents both the French and Spanish traditions that became rooted in Pensacola. Lassassier's fascinating life included a later marriage to a man who tried to deprive her of her assets and unsuccessfully tried to poison her.
We know a good bit about Madame Lassassier because there were court cases, there were wills. There's a lot of historic documentation about her. And she is buried in historic St. Michael's Cemetery, and she has a beautiful marble tablet marker that marks her space that's associated with her son. So what we know about her gives us a nice picture of a woman of means, but also a woman of great character and strength.
Also highlighted and buried near Lassassier is Mariana Bonifay. She was born about 1760 in France and died in Pensacola in 1829.
Another strong woman who was in business for herself, formed strong partnerships, came out of French tradition through the Caribbean to New Orleans and then into Pensacola. And she left a strong tradition in our construction era. I think we need to look at people and how they connect to what we even see today. She, too, is in St. Michael's Cemetery, although her marker does not survive. But we have enough documentary evidence to firmly place her in St. Michael's and likely in the general area where she is buried.
Bonifay, the matriarch of one of Pensacola's heritage families, was best known for her successful brickyards. but she also had several other business interests ranging from real estate to cattle farming.
And then you have Genevieve Ham. Miss Ham was also a woman of force and personality. She was a woman of color. She's listed in the 1821 census as a Pardo. Generally indicates more than two ethnicities, and so it could be any blend. It could have been Anglo-French, Anglo-Spanish, Anglo-African.
What is known is that she was a free woman of color who apparently made a good living for herself as a seamstress.
And she would have interacted with the other three women probably on pretty much of a daily basis. She was likely the person that made the frocks that they wore. And they all would have met either in church, their parish church for services, and they would have met on the streets as they did their shopping.
That brings us to the kinds of foods that these women, Genevieve Ham, Mariana Bonifay, Victoria LaSassier, and Dorothy Walton, were buying, growing, and eating in Pensacola 200 years ago. A closer look at Pensacola's culinary history tomorrow. Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.